nice drinking sound there, pal.
Oh, excuse me. I'm not even done yet. Hold on. Here we go.
I'm going to make a strong assumption that Mike has a pretty strong gag reflex.
Do you want to find out?
Just an assumption.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Push My Buttons podcast.
Swallow. Hold it down.
I did. I sound like a news anchor from the 80s. Oh, geez. I think a line of celebration is on this podcast, I have completely drank my entire supply of alcohol. Time to replenish, because that was the last of my cognac, and I didn't measure it, so I don't know how much I just drank. But let me tell you, I'll be very happy to go back to tequila. Yes, so, hi everyone, it's Dungeon Master Mike, and I'm joined by Mochi, who is on my lap, and Scout, who is just right behind me. Wants to make sure everyone knows he's there. I am also joined with, my other host, Jamie. That's you.
This is Captain Platinum. I usually go last, so I wasn't sure. I was like,
neither was I.
It's nice to know that whenever I join a podcast, I bring a little nerddom chaos with me. Apparently.
Yes, and it really works well. And
I like that plug, too. Way to plug your show.
Those of you who did not know, we are joined today by Panda Pat.
Hi! Hi, a panda! And I like apples at 5 o'clock.
And you're spectacular. Spectacular Panda Pat. Ryan joined in the podcast, and it's labeled under, like, for his name as Panda Pat.
I did. I tried to fool Mike, but it didn't last not even a second.
The first millisecond of that angelic chorus that is your voice, I knew it was you.
And I put him up to it. I was like, when you joined the podcast, because I didn't tell Mike we had a special guest. I was just like, I'll send you the link, and you should join us, Panda Pat.
And so I am actually the uncanny recurring guest, Ryab, from the Nerd Dumb Podcast.
Welcome. I'm so happy to have you with us.
I am happy to be here in this virtual room, seeing your virtual face.
Yeah. You've got the best sound system out of the three of us, so listeners at home will be very happy.
I could not get my mic to work tonight to save my life. It did not want to work.
Dude, we've always have tech problems on this show.
And usually it's Panda Pat, so because I made Raya be Panda Pat, I am probably paying for that. Murphy is coming full force at me.
Okay, I'm already feeling very warm from my drink. I think we need to get started.
All right, you want to do games we did first or go to news first?
Well, I thought you meant, like, start taking off your clothes.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. But no one's going to benefit. No one's going to, like, enjoy it. Because I'm all the way over here in Baltimore.
The dogs would.
Mm-hmm. The dogs would. I don't think they would care one way or the other. You know what? Let's actually talk about... there's something I want to talk about that's not a news or... It's definitely game related. I went to New York yesterday. The main purpose was to watch Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. But I decided that I wanted to go check out Nintendo New York, which was the Pokemon Center up until a couple of years ago. So yeah, I went to the Nintendo New York. I took some pictures. I tried to send Ryab all the pictures. I accidentally sent him a wrong one.
got a very interesting picture.
You want to describe the picture I sent you on accident?
It's a dog, I think. And it's also, what is the name of that penny? No, nail.
No,
what is the,
it's a pinhead.
Pinhead, that's what it is.
From Hellraiser.
Hellraiser Pinhead puppy. Like a little pug. A little white pug.
Yeah, it's a little white pug. Or Chihuahua. I can't really tell. Oh, the Chihuahua is like cosplaying as Pinhead from Hellraiser. And I sent him a picture of the tweet that had that picture on there. And the person tweeted, "This is my god now." And it's a Chihuahua with his tongue sticking out, but he's got like a little cap with like nails in the cap. And he's wearing like black, like a black leather cape. Because he looks like Pinhead from Hellraiser. I accidentally sent that to Riot before I sent him the New York Nintendo New York photos. So yeah, I went to Nintendo New York, and I am very sad to say I was really disappointed. I was so disappointed because I wanted Pokemon stuff, right? I'm super into Pokemon Go. I love Pokemon. I've always loved Pokemon. And it was the Pokemon Center. But then I don't know why Nintendo decided that the most successful franchise in the world was not necessarily worth keeping a store in New York. So they turned it into Nintendo New York. And I was really sad because it was a little bit of a museum. There was a couple of like displays of like different versions of the Nintendo DS, tons of family systems that they've had on. They had an original Rob, who, if you don't know, Rob is a character on Super Smash Brothers, but he was actually a what?
Sorry.
I feel like that was a reaction, not necessarily a text.
Yes. That was my reaction to them having an original Rob, because I know what that is.
So yeah, there was an original Rob, which was a console essentially. So there was a museum of sorts. There was a digital Mario head that you can talk to and it would respond to you. And I think it was someone like that was in a different room who was on the voice modulator, and you talk to them and like they would respond through the voice modulator and it would sound like Mario. They had like an amiibo display case, but the room. Okay, so if you've ever been in New York in a New York store, it is crowded, right? Because space is a commodity, and everything is jam packed. You go to any store, any restaurant, and you have to dance around people because it's very, very small. But it was very spacious in the Nintendo store. It looked like they were empty of stock. There was only like a few shelves. There were plushies and stuff. There were the manga, the Zelda manga. There was, you know, games. Obviously, they were selling their T-shirts, but it was all very spaced out, and it felt like a pop-up shop, unfortunately. And everything that they had in the store, you can get online somewhere. So. For me, I was kind of like sad because I wanted more Pokemon things there, and there weren't very many. Like they didn't even have like they didn't even have all of the starters from the Pokemon games there. Like it was kind of sparse.
So I'd done a little Googling all of a sudden, mm-hmm. and it looks like it was the Pokemon Center was closed because Nintendo didn't really like the way that the Pokemon company was running it, and there was mass employee theft.
Oh my gosh. That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, it's New York.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't surprise me. So yeah. But it was, I mean, it's definitely, if you're in New York, I'd recommend it, especially if you're a Nintendo fan. And we went, like Michelle and I went with a couple of people and they were Nintendo fans and like they got stuff. One of them got like a big Snorlax and another one got like a T-shirt. Like it's worth going to, and also because I tend to be kind of like a party killer sometimes, from what I am told. Perhaps my view on it is different than what other fans would think. I feel like because I was a fan, I expected more and I didn't get more. But people can go there and would probably have a totally different experience. The staff were definitely enthusiastic. any person that they were talking to, they'd give like the history of Nintendo. They even had like some original. So Nintendo has been around since the 1800s, and in the 1800s, they were selling cards.
Yeah, and they made video games out of wood.
Yes, and they had some.
I was saying that facetiously, but they really.
No, they eventually they went to wood, but they started off with cards. And so they had a deck of those cards there, so that was really cool to see. I feel like if you are a Nintendo fan, it is definitely worth checking out. I doubt their stock stays the same for even like 3 weeks, and it is also a Mystic Gym, so hell yeah.
It was at the time, at least.
It was at the time. By the time we left, Valor took it over, but. It's constantly like there's never a moment where there aren't Pokemon battles happening there. So,
right.
But yeah, that was my experience with Nintendo New York. There were some really cool statues there. A really detailed Link. There was a Mario who was pole dancing.
As Mario's are wont to do.
I thought Luigi was more into that.
Well, there is a Luigi and Toad at the base of that pole.
Yes, there are.
Mario is at the very top of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
they know their place.
they know their place. I'm gonna send Ryan a text right now of exactly what's going through my head, but it's gonna take time to find it. So with that being said,
makes for great audio there, bud.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. There's gonna be a lot. There's a lot of dead space in the audio too.
That's a great game. I'm really hoping for there's a good remake of that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to it eventually. But that's kind of where, that was my experience yesterday. So, but aside from that,
that's how awesome. Was your guys week? You should put the pictures in the comments of the post for this episode of the store.
Yeah, I should. Am I going to do it? I don't know.
Mike can't even remember to upload the episodes at the end of the episode.
No, I'm really bad at that. Well, there's even one time I was like, okay, cool, we're good. And then I end up like not doing it. So... but yeah. Okay, so there's one of the pictures I want to send, and there's another picture I want to send. Okay, so how do I... There we go. What are you seeing there, Ryan?
The tattoo is the best. it's the first one's Toad, but with man... So imagine, I have the perfect way to paint this picture. The top half is Toad, just as normal Toad. The bottom half is, oh my gosh, his name escapes me. The dude that plays the dad on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston. The bottom is a tighty-whitey Bryan Cranston.
Exactly. What was your sword on in a movie, man? You're a Power Ranger fan.
I can't remember. I'm terrible with actors' names. And then the next one is just the female version of that, but the gratuitous ass shot with the question mark brick tattooed on her ash with some great fishnets.
Yeah, so Toad was at the base of that pole.
That Toad? Toad, right. And Toadette?
Yeah, guys, we're 15 minutes into this episode.
We're letting you talk about Nintendo World, man.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, like, okay, so yeah, I was disappointed, but it's still a worthwhile endeavor. If you find yourself in New York, go visit it.
You sent us all the amiibos too, man. They have amiibos
galore. Dude, they had some of those rare. We talked about this one on the show once, but it was there's one picture that has the Skyward Sword amiibo. That when you use it in the game, it allows you to fast travel between locations.
Yep.
Only if you buy that amiibo.
Yep.
And that was a controversy. And that amiibo was there front and center in the Zelda section of the amiibos.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking at that picture right now.
They're flaunting it?
Yeah, they're flaunting it. It's right there. It's almost like Nintendo heard everyone's complaints and they're like, we'll put this at the front of the display.
And I actually saw like three of those at Target today. I was shocked.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought they were gone.
They've been slowly restocking here
and
there.
Anything ever truly gone?
No, no one's ever truly gone. No one's ever truly gone. Yeah, how was your guys' week? Did I ask that question already?
You did, but then you went back to your story.
Okay, yeah, how was everyone's week?
Jamie and Maya's week were really good. We were on mandatory overtime, so we worked.
Yep, I was working right up until this, and I've got all my compliance training done.
Good job, Jamie.
Well, first story.
Sorry. It's that boring of a week, guys. It's,
yeah, it's pretty boring.
I dressed up yesterday for work. Or not yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
And he looked like a pimp.
What were you? What did you dress
up as?
He
didn't intend to look like a pimp. So I decided that it would be a great idea to wear all of my Star Trek stuff at once. So I have a lot of Star Trek engineering. So it's the yellow uniform, the gold uniform. I have shoes that are in that engineering uniform print. I have pajama pants that are in the print of the shirt, which is kind of funny because the pants are the shirt. And then I have a polo shirt, and then I have a hoodie. So I wore it all at once. So I was just big golden black glob. And it was funny.
It was really the pants that made us think you were a pimp. And then I think someone also said your shirt looked like Charlie Brown. So we had a good laugh about that.
I dressed up for work today. You want to know what I dressed up as?
I'm imagining that toad picture you sent.
Close. I dressed up as a slob because I work at home. So I and Michelle isn't here, so I just woke up and just went straight to work. So yeah. Happy Halloween, everyone. Yeah, by
happy
the time
Halloween.
Okay, this will be an experiment because we're recording this on the 29th of October. So this is
it's Halloween Eve Eve.
Yes, mm-hmm. Halloween Eve Eve. Which means you'll probably get this like around Thanksgiving.
I was just gonna say probably by Thanksgiving.
Really? Do you guys wait that long to post?
No, okay. Because I'm horrible at like putting these in the Google Drive. And then, like, sometimes...
How are you horrible at it? You simply drag and drop.
Listen. I'm bad at this. So Jamie has gotten to the point where, like, he understands he can't log off until I drag and drop the episodes. Because every time I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's, like, a week later and Luke is, like... And that's the time when, like, Luke is, like, ready to release the episode on Monday. He's like, where's the episode? So it happens. Yeah. So that was that's everyone's week. Let's jump into some news.
Yeah, which news first?
News.
News.
So Ryab, you're listening to the entire podcast, right?
I am. I have started at episode one. And which was a very different podcast than it is today, I tell you what. And
what was the format like back then? I wasn't even in episode one.
No, it was Luke and Sarah, and they just talked about the games that they were playing at the time. That was the whole episode, and then it kind of changed to you and Luke, and then you guys were talking while trying to play at the same time, and that didn't work great. I can tell you that from a listener perspective.
Yeah. We knew right away after like two episodes of trying that, like, oh, this is a boring format. It wasn't until like episode 20 something that we kind of got the vibe.
Yeah, and then Captain Flat and then Panda Pat started joining, and so I'm on episode 28, all the Sims mods. The next episode,
the porn Sim mods, right?
Yes. And then after that is episode 29, which is Der Murder Krumbrat.
did we pass the like year long hiatus?
Yes, you're just back from that, just barely.
Okay, that's yeah. When we started being more consistent.
He even did the episode with Lucy, which was fun.
I did.
That's a great episode. We need to invite her back on.
Yes, please, because I really like listening to her.
Yeah, okay, we'll make it a point to invite Lucy. In fact, I will tweet at her, and we'll see if we can get an episode with her on. We'll see if we can schedule something, because she really was a fantastic guest, and that was another example of when, like, we had kind of like a debate, and I was on the opposite side of that debate, mm-hmm. and Captain Platinum and Lucy convinced me, like, hey, okay, I can see the appeal now. You've explained it to me. I'm not necessarily a trophy hunter now, but I can see the appeal. And she mm-hmm. and she used a very specific example. It was, I think she said, like, it's like when you struggle in Dark Souls, and you're just banging your head against a concrete wall when you're fighting that first boss, and you finally do it, and you're mm-hmm. just, yes, that's what it's like. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I get it.
Yes.
So yes, she convinced me. So yeah, we need to have her. We need to have her back on. Mm-hmm. So
another fun tangent. But that's what story did you want to talk about first?
Oh, let's talk about how players have a ton of complaints about Nintendo Switch's online Nintendo 64 games.
Oh yeah. So
all 9 of them? Do they have 9 complaints?
Oh my gosh!
Oh, there's more complaints.
I'm going to
there's more complaints than games.
Yes.
So here, it's actually a very similar problem. I don't know if
there's,
you're going
to
actually...
There's more dollars that you have to pay extra for it than games available.
So first yeah. off, the biggest complaint was the prices, right?
Yep.
Everyone's just like, this better be worth it. But part of it also had to do with... oh, wait, no, that's not it. That's not the video I wanted to send you. That's a video of it actually, like, functioning well. Well,
is it not working either?
Oh, no, it's not
so
working.
Laggy. It's so oh. laggy.
So there is, maybe, Jamie, you can find it, like, as I just go on my drunkenness. Because
do you want me to send something to Ryab?
Send a video of, like, the functionality to Ryab so he can see it.
All right.
There's lots of Twitter videos that are like 30 seconds long, right?
Ryab, is Gmail the fastest for you?
You can just, it doesn't matter. All of the okay. things are the fastest.
Okay, yeah. Just checking real quick. Sorry.
So the thing about it, so you haven't heard this episode yet, Ryab, but we talked recently about Diablo 2 Resurrected mm-hmm. and how the net code for that game is still the same net code from when it was developed back in the 2000s. And that's where a lot of the problems are coming from. You'll eventually hit that episode. But that's kind of where Mario Kart 64 is having problems with. Except Mario Kart 64 didn't have net code. Mario Kart 64's like internal emulate, like actual code is kind of clashing with the Switch's horrible netcode. And what's happening is the Switch and Nintendo's servers purposely pause a player until the latency or it artificially raises your latency so that a player's frames can catch up until you are matched frame per frame. And then once there is a lag in frames, the person who's ahead experiences spiked latency until the person who is ahead or who's behind in frames catches up. But that's constantly fluctuating within a period of milliseconds. So the way how it comes to us is you're just playing at like 3 frames a second. because you guys are constantly, one's constantly faster than the other. The Switch's net code is so poor, and it's a Nintendo 64 game that's used to running on a CRV TV where there's no delay, and they're just like 1 second you're ahead, the next you're behind, and it's just freezing everyone left and right. It is so bad you can't even save ghost data. Remember in the Nintendo 64, you can save your times as ghosts, and you had to put in the memory pack in the back of the controller.
Yep.
And you can race yourself with your ghost. Well, the emulation for it, because these are just emulators, the emulation for it is so poor, it actually demands that you put in a memory card into the back of your controller to utilize the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But that feature doesn't exist on the Switch. There is a Nintendo 64 controller that you can buy from Nintendo, but the slot where you would put in the memory card is filled. You can't put anything in there. So the emulation doesn't know how to come over, like get over the fact of there's no memory card there. What do? Whenever you emulate like a PlayStation game, for example, and you want to save your game, the emulation has to give the game something so that you can save your game into a memory card, right? Because in the old PlayStation days, you had memory cards with blocks of data, and like a game would save up a certain amount of blocks. Well, the game itself doesn't know what to do. It just looks for the memory cards. So emulators for the PlayStation have to use your hard drive in such a way that makes the game think that it's a memory card. But the Nintendo 64 emulate, like the official releases of Mario Kart and all these other games too, does not recognize Switch hardware correctly. It actually thinks it's still on Nintendo 64, and it will demand things like the memory card in the back of your controller. It's not functioning properly because these ports are so bad.
That's funny. So I'm looking at the images of Ocarina of Time between Nintendo 64 and Switch. And it looks it's like been Minecraftified in Switch because it's all blocky.
There is one.
And like the Switch is rendering the graphics more poorly than the original Nintendo 64. It's funny.
And you know that the funny thing is, anyone who actually like looks into kind of like old game tech, right? They'll know that like everyone remembers the Nintendo 64 had this perpetual fog within a certain radius. You play any game, and after a certain distance, there is a fog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that fog was there because the Nintendo 64 didn't have the necessary RAM, or even just anything, didn't really have enough hardware to render it past that point. Like, if you were playing Turok, there was a fog. It knows that there's a raptor there outside of your view, but it doesn't render the graphics because the graphics are the most memory-intensive thing. So once you get within a certain range, that's when the images are rendered and you can see it on your screen. So the programmers from the Nintendo 64 at the time took that into account. And they tried to make environments that would utilize that fog. So Ocarina of Time, like a prime example of that in Ocarina of Time, is where you fight Shadow Link in the water temple. Because you're on like this clear crystal surface of water and your vision goes out infinitely. But what you're really looking at is the fog. And the programmers just took that into account. When it's rendered into the Switch, the water looks like a floor, and there's no fog, so you can kind of see like the polygon walls of the room. It just looks horrible. It just looks so bad. The Switch, yeah, this was really, it's not worth the money. People want to go ahead.
Yeah, the problem was, I was gonna say, is the problem is they currently it's $20 for a year, and now to get the Sega Genesis, the N64. And Animal Crossing DLC or expansion pack or whatever that was, it's $50 for an individual, and I think it's $80 for a family, right? Like, so some people are like, well, for a family it makes sense and it's a great deal, but if it's a single person, it's totally not worth it right now.
No, it's not worth it.
So yeah, that and then they had the video too of the in Kakariko Village where the game crashes on him too. There's like
that's really funny. Like, because Link's torso becomes invisible and then it just pops up. It's like the game has crashed because of an issue. But there's one screenshot where it's on Mario Kart and it's prompting them to put in the controller pack into their controller, and somebody got the wireless Nintendo 64 controller that they released too, and flipped it over, and they filled in the spot where the back goes. Yep. They just put like a cover over it, and the captain goes, "Oh God, they filled up the back. Now what am I supposed to do?"
Well, and that's the other thing, is you have to have a Nintendo online subscription to buy their wireless controller, which is also $50, and there's a limit of 4 so per account. So they're getting you that way too.
Hmm.
And people are saying the button mapping is atrocious between the N64 and Switch.
Yeah.
And I guess you can't remap it. That was one of the guy's tweets. It's the button mapping for N64 on Switch is so terrible that I'm still in disbelief that there's no option to remap.
Yeah, it's just really a poor emulation. And this really sucks because Nintendo has been like going the extra mile to shut down all ROM sites. So you can't, like, you really have to search hard to find a proper emulation of any Nintendo games right
now.
Not
if you know where to look.
If you know where to look, we're not going to share that. But, like, they've been going the extra mile to shut these sites down. And so they were like, okay, you know what? There's a demand for emulation. We're going to emulate it. And they literally just copy, like, they're like, oh, this emulator looks good. We'll put this in the Switch. And they don't, like, tweak it. So... Because anything beyond the Super Nintendo, you've got to tweak to your system a bit in order to get it to work. And they didn't do that for the Switch. And so it's just like, if you're not willing to put in the effort for your own emulation, like, don't shut down the sites. But Nintendo doesn't view it that way. It's just an odd way of doing business.
It's really funny to me because fans have been creating emulators forever, for years and years and years and years and years. The practice, the methodology is very well down. Like, this day and age, people exist that know really well how to write emulators, and apparently they use none of them.
Nope. I think it's it's really weird. I don't know. I don't know what's up with Nintendo when it comes to things like that, but. That's the whole Nintendo debacle with the Switch emulators. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. If you're enjoying it, let us know in the comments below somewhere, but I haven't upped my membership or anything, so and
I have fully intended to until I saw
just a couple
some of the things.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Even before that, even before I knew all the details, I was like, "Oh, they have 10 games? I don't want to pay that much for 10 or 9 games, whatever many they had on there."
And again, I think a lot of us were thinking, oh, they'll increase it by like $10 to $20, not $30.
Yeah, more than double it.
Yeah. But you're getting that Animal Crossing. Is it an expansion? Is that what it's called? As well? Because you get the Sega games. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Whatever. The Happy Home Paradise DLC. That's what you're getting. Which is upcoming. So, if that's your cup of tea and that's what you want to pay for, great. All right, Mike, what's the next story you want to chat about?
Next story. Ryan, have you got to the episodes where I voiced my concerns about Baldur's Gate 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that out yet?
So, that's the thing. It's been in early access since late 2019.
This is the one with the Mind Flayers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Just to kind of reiterate, because I know I was beating that dead horse so many times about like my concerns. I don't think it's going to be a bad game. I've already purchased it. But I don't think it should be called Baldur's Gate 3. I think it should be its own title. From what they've revealed, but that's the
Baldur's front door.
Baldur's front door, yeah. Baldur's walkway. Baldur's
Baldur's path.
Baldur's garden. Something. I don't know. I think it's going to be a great game.
Baldur's bedroom.
But Baldur's bedroom. That's an adventure.
This
entire
is a great
campaign there.
Here.
Yeah. Attack this splash damage. So yeah, I have a problem with this game being in early access. I bought it, but I have not played it at all because I don't want to play an incomplete version of this game. I know that there's going to be like there's at least
you don't want to cyberpunk it.
I don't want to cyberpunk it. No, have you got to those episodes?
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
Your list of bugs in cyberpunk was very entertaining.
Where the can fell on me and I got cannoned like across the map. Mm-hmm.
T-posing with no pants was my favorite part.
Yeah, on a motorcycle. So I don't want to play an incomplete game. I know a lot of people love it, but the problem is that like I don't want to like put so much time and like obviously emotion into playing Baldur's Gate 3 when not all the options are there, not all the routes I can take are there, not all the like gameplay is there, and eventually my character is going to get deleted when they do the full release. They have been doing regular updates. They've just recently released the Sorcerer class. The Druid class was released in early 2021, where you had the ability to shapeshift, and people thought it was amazing if you just shapeshifted into a badger and stayed that way the entire game, because they animated all the expressions for a badger. So like people just played the entire game as a badger or what was available.
Snakes?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've been trying to not badger. That's an old meme.
Yeah. This episode title should be some news and some callbacks.
Yeah. I haven't played it yet, but it's very successful for the people that have jumped into it. And so it has been 1 year. Oh, no, it hasn't actually been available since the end of 2009. It's been available since the end of 2020. 1 year of Baldur's Gate 3, an adventure in failure and success. And so this was reported by Games Industry. And they interviewed Larian CEO Sven Winke. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm very sorry. He discusses the kind of the challenges that went into taking Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition and turning it into a video game. Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, I don't think should be a video game. I think earlier versions...
It worked really well for the first version of Baldur's Gate, yeah?
Well, the first Baldur's Gate games were done in 2nd Edition rules. This is 5th edition. This is the 5th edition rule set.
Yeah.
The 2nd edition rules are a lot more number crunchy, which I think fits the mold of a video game better. While 5th edition is a little bit more rules light, I think that functions very well for a table.
Mm.
But they found out that there were problems with it when they started turning things into the game. When they started turning it into a video game. For example, when you are at a table of a Dungeons & Dragons game and you look at your skill and you look at the difficulty check or the difficulty rating for a roll, if something comes up as 80% chance of success, you're pretty much guaranteed to succeed, or at least you feel that way. And then when you roll and you fail, like we can turn it into something funny and, you know, like the dynamics of a table game are much different than they are in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
In a video game, when you see that you have an 80% chance of success, you still have a 1/5 chance of failing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video game, that doesn't translate super well. So they had to do things like it's not true random chance. They had to give players weighted dice so you can increase the probability of a higher roll. They've had to do a variety of different things to kind of like basically they had to tweak Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition further away from the actual rule set to more of a video game style. They've also had to change things I'm on the article right now, but I'm just pretty much kind of skimming it. They've had a lot of success too, don't get me wrong. They did a whole LARP event where they announced a certain feature that was going to be released in Baldur's Gate 3. And in that LARP event, one of the developers was wielding a stick of salami as a weapon. And people loved it so much that the developers were like, you know, we should put the stick of salami in the game as a usable weapon. And they did. And so
and they
like,
could dual wield it.
They could dual wield salami.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So there's, you know, it's pretty much just an article of like, what has this year of early access allowed them to do? And they have found out that early access was definitely needed to be able to get this game to where it's at. And it has been invaluable to them. I have problems with early access games, but I don't want to shit on this parade because this article is pretty much a celebration of essentially what looks like it's going to be a successful full release. However, the game has been in people's hands for a year and people have only had parts of it. So that's kind of, I would argue that's not necessarily a full release. That's just kind of when they're saying, hey, we're done with the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of a year long reminisce. Ryan, how do you feel about like early access games? Have you read anything about Baldur's Gate 3 at all, or the original Baldur's Gate games? What are your opinions?
I'm familiar with the original Baldur's Gate games. I watched the trailer for the Baldur's Gate 3 when it released, and I was excited for it. I really like Mind Flayers. I think those are cool. One of the D&D characters that I made for one of our, the first time we did, started, Curse of Strahd had a mind flayer thing. I can't remember the name of the race. Anyway, I really like them. I was kind of looking forward to that, but then you, listening to your rant about it made me kind of a little bit more, less enthused about it. But, on the one episode that you were talking about it. But I would still think it would have been, I mean, would have been fun. If the early access thing is interesting, I think it's weird that they have done it for so long, having it be early access, but because they were delaying last information that I had when I looked at it, they were just delaying to put some finishing touches, much like they delayed like Cyberpunk for a while, and maybe they announced it too early or somewhat, and then the pandemic affected the development schedule like it did everything. But so that's interesting that they've had it for so long and still haven't released it, and it's just in permanent early access mode.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, early access is just simply like a title. Like, anyone could buy the game and play it. So how do you define early access? Well, it's pretty much the company saying, the game isn't done yet, but we're going to sell it to you anyway.
We're still in beta. Here, have a sample, is what I've always envisioned early access to be.
Right. But normally, beta or alpha indicates that it's a closed testing group before it's released to the wider public.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But early access, it's available to anybody and everybody. And it's available at full price, $60, and you pay it, you have an incomplete game. But hey, it's early access, so if there are bugs and stuff on it, like that's not what the actual game is going to be. Well, that is the actual game. Like it's on the Steam store right now. I can play any moment. And calling it early access is kind of like a defense that they put up, and a lot of companies are doing this, and I don't really I feel like for early access, like some games can benefit from it. I don't know. Again, this is because I'm a huge Baldur's Gate fan, so I think I'm being just super picky.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. But yeah, so they've reflected on the past year and the kind of like what they have learned and successes and failures and stuff like that. So I will play it a year from now when it's fully released.
Well, you'll have to tell me how it is, and I might add it to the list.
I would recommend the Pathfinder games for right now over Baldur's Gate 3. The Pathfinder, there's a
or
new
just
Pathfinder
play actual
game.
D&D.
Or play actual D&D. I mean, yeah, that's definitely the better option. Okay. that's all I've got on that, and then we're going to get into a rant. Anything you want to bring up, Captain Platinum?
I don't think so. I think we hit the main stories. What else did I send you this week? It was I know PlayStation had a direct, but I heard it wasn't very good, and I didn't watch all the way through it yet.
I haven't even turned it on, so I don't even know.
Same.
The last one was really good. It's hard to beat that one. So, or the PlayStation. Yeah, I call it PlayStation Direct, but it's not. It's Nintendo. I forget what they State of Play.
Yeah, they're State of Plays. Yep. No, I think I'm good. I know there's a story Luke wanted to talk about, but we'll save that for the next time he's on. So.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Are we ready?
Oh, have you? I guess I could bring up one other one. We'll hit three. We'll call it that.
Okay.
Well, hit the other one briefly. Grand Theft Auto, the definitive edition is coming November 11th, which this may come out after that. So, that was like one of the bad kept secrets, but they officially announced Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, definitive edition. I think it's like all platforms are getting it. So that's GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. So, if you've never played them or want to play updated remakes, awesome. There you go. I didn't read this article yet, but I thought the headline was awesome. That Starfield leak claims that every planet is bigger than the entire Skyrim map. How do you feel about that?
16 times the detail. This is coming from Todd Howard, and with recent successes such as Fallout 76. So, Fallout 76 is pretty polished now, but like it's the laughing.
That was not at launch. Yeah, that was not at launch.
All you have to do is look up internet historian the Fallout of 76. And it's Bethesda, unfortunately, a lot of game companies have burnt all of their goodwill. Like, they just kind of assume that their goodwill with players will get them through a lot of the problems that they've had with their releases. And it just hasn't been a good look. And Bethesda's one of those that burnt the bridges. Okay, so we're going to start wrapping up because we are coming up on that hour. We may not get into the games that we are playing. Should I just go ahead and start my rant?
Sure. Yeah.
Engage.
Let's give you try to go for like 10 minutes max. Let's see if you can keep it under 10.
Okay. This is multiple storylines. Here we go. First off, 4 days ago, Activision Blizzard's attempt to halt the lawsuit has been rejected. So basically, there was a conflict of interest because there were two simultaneous lawsuits that were occurring. One was the big one was done by the state with their Department of Employment and Housing. That was from the state of California. And then the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is a federal office, sued the company, and they were going to settle for $18 million for a multi-billion-dollar company. And last we left off in this story, that was a conflict of interest because there were people who were working both cases. And one of the conditions for the EEOC settlement was that Blizzard was just going to completely burn evidence that was going to be useful to the Department of the Department of Employment and Housing lawsuit. That was overturned. However, despite that being a big ethics violation and a conflict of interest, the rejection is probably not going to deter Activision Blizzard from using that in its defense. So it's just gave Activision Blizzard more ammunition, and they're just like they're still embroiled in controversy. And it really sucks because justice isn't going to come to Activision Blizzard anytime soon, and this is just another hurdle. In light
justice
of,
will not be served. They need a Batman to be
they
stuck
do.
On them.
They need Batman to break through the windows and just face slam people into their desks. Not developers; they're the good guys. But like Bobby Cocktick needs his nose broken by Batman because it's just so horrible.
That's an excellent name.
He just pisses me off. We'll get to him. In light of this news about the lawsuit not being thrown out and Blizzard's ex-head of legal issues like saying, I dodged that bullet because I'm no longer working those cases. In light of all of that, Blizzard had decided to cancel BlizzCon 2022. BlizzCon has been a shit show since 2018. In 2018, they announced Diablo Immortal, which when everyone booed the announcers on the stage, the announcers responded with, don't you guys have phones? And just everything about 2018.
I remember that. Loved that. That was drama at its finest.
Oh, yes, it was. Diablo Immortal has not been released yet. It's in closed beta now.
They should move it to open access.
Yes, they should. Early access.
Yeah, early access. Flame.
2018, that occurred. 2019, it was pretty milk toast because they didn't want to duplicate the 2018 debacle. I think 2019 was when they announced Diablo 4. 2020, I don't remember anything that specific happened there. 2021 was canceled. And so they decided that... And then other video clips of Blizzard at BlizzCon shaming a woman gamer about her request for having their female characters not be in bikini battle armor. Like, BlizzCon has been horrible for Blizzard now. It has been. Oh, and the Crosby Suite. I think that was actually I forget what year that was. Maybe that was 2019. That was when Alex Afrasiabi and a bunch of people, including Jesse McCree, the guy who had an Overwatch character and tons of people named after him, were in this the Bill
tons
Crosby
of people?
Suite.
Lots of babies were named after him, or Jesse McCree, the character?
Sorry. Jesse McCree. Developer Rockstar at Blizzard had lots of characters named after him in multiple games. Same with Alex Afrasiabi, which now there's a new policy at Blizzard to no longer name characters after
McCree.
Employees. Yes, Jesse McCree.
Just McCree.
Just McCree. Just McCree.
So Blizzard cancels BlizzCon, and it was to have the developers focus. Oh, yeah. The first BlizzCon was... held 16 years. This is a quote from Blizzard. Was held 16 years ago, and so much has changed in the time since. Most notably, the multiple ways in which players and communities can come together and feel like they're part of something bigger. Whatever the event looks like in the future, we also need to ensure that it feels safe, welcoming, and inclusive as possible. So, Blizzard canceled BlizzCon. And then in a letter, I'm on 6 minutes. I'm doing pretty good. Here we go.
Yeah, you're doing good, man.
October 28th, CEO Bobby Cocktick outlines progress and commitments.
Is that actually his name?
His real name is Cocktick. K-O-T-I-C-K.
Okay.
I just added another CK in there.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay.
It's a small change.
It's a small
insignificant
change.
Insignificant almost.
He enunciates a little differently than others.
Yes. It's yes. Just a slight enunciation.
Uh-huh. So, Bobby...
Difference between mountain and mountain.
Yes. Bobby tick-infested cock. How's that for... How's that for enunciation? All right. October 28th.
That's CEO... a nice visual.
I just imagined that scene from the Brandon Fraser mummy with, like, all the Beatles. He shared an email with employees. Now, I'm not going to read the entire email because it's filled with empty platitudes that he has said before. We are launching a new zero-tolerance harassment policy. They've already had a zero-tolerance harassment policy company wide, and they didn't do anything about it. So the fact that he said we're launching
this
a
is
new one,
2.0, it's yes. harassment immortal.
2.0. This thing is just a bunch of just bullshit. Here's another one. Point two that he brings up. We will increase the percentage. And these are in bold letters, by the way. He hit Control B when he was typing this out because he wanted the topic sentence to be apparent to everyone because he knew people were just going to skim it on podcasts. You know, and so that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm giving him like what he wants. I'm just reading the bolded topic sentences of his points. We will increase the percentage of women and non-binary people in our workforce by 50% and will invest $250 million to accelerate opportunities for diverse talent. Okay, point three. Based on feedback from employees, we are waiving required arbitration of sexual harassment and discrimination claims. This is a big one. Because developers were required to sign arbitration clauses, meaning that if anything were to happen in the workforce, including sexual harassment, they were required to take it up through company mechanics. And if they decided to go outside the company, basically they were at risk of losing their job and things like that, because that was something like of a contract that they would have to sign.
Mm-hmm.
There are also things in the clause too, like certain faults won't be like investigated. Just it's a really shitty thing that a lot of developers had to sign was a arbitration clause. So they're not getting rid of all of the required arbitration. They're just getting rid of some of it, specifically the stuff that pertains to sexual harassment and discrimination. If a Blizzard employee chooses not to arbitrate an individual claim of sexual harassment, unlawful discrimination, or related retaliation arising in the future, the company will waive an obligation to sign the document. Meaning, they're allowing people to complain more openly and publicly and to seek other routes for compensation rather than through the company. This is cool to a point because they just need to get rid of the arbitration clauses, period. It's just something that protects the company more than anything else. However, they're getting rid of the sexual harassment portion. That's fine. Okay, I'm at 10 minutes. We will provide regular progress updates. That doesn't mean anything. Here's the part that really gets me. specifically, in bold. Specifically,
here's the part
I have,
that grinds my gears.
Yes. I have asked the board to reduce my pay to the lowest amount California law will allow for people earning a salary, which is $62,500 a year. To be clear, this is a reduction in my overall compensation, not just my salary. I'm not asking to receive any bonuses or be granted any equity during this time. He's still
asking for it, but they're going to give it to me.
They're going to, yeah. That's huge because the guy in April asked for his paycheck of millions upon millions. I think he's a billionaire. If not, he's really close to it. He wanted to double his paycheck in April because he did such a fantastic job. And people were like starting to vote against him, being like, no, we don't want to give you a double pay raise, especially since you just fired 3,000 people. That could have paid for 3,000 people. You are paid so much that you have to fire 3,000 people to make up what you want to be paid. So the fact that he's going down to 62,000 means he knows his job is right over the fire.
He has an estimated net worth of $7 billion.
Wow. The guy's a billionaire.
Multiple
he's got
billion.
Stock in the company still. He can be making a single dollar and he will still be earning millions of dollars a year. Just because money begets money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lowering his pay. And he brags about it being lowered to $62,000. Which is still more than a lot of the developers.
Poverty for someone like him.
So it pisses me off. I mean, yes, he should be lowering. Satoru Wada, CEO of Nintendo. He took no pay. At all until the problems with, I think, the Wii U, Well, like, until the Switch was released because the Wii U was such a failure. Like, just, the guy doesn't even need to be paid. He just wants to keep his job and keep his stock in the company. But he's so rich, he doesn't need to be paid. And he just likes to brag, my pay is being lowered, because he definitely works from paycheck to paycheck like everyone else. Okay, I'm going to end it right there because I'm 13 minutes in.
You're good, man.
You love it. Love it.
Okay. I love your passion for it. It's you keep us up to date on it, so it's awesome.
Yeah, so that's, I think that's the fastest rant that I've done. And I'm still boiling. I still want to scream, but we are under a good schedule, so we need to keep it.
You can continue. Just cuz I have to drop off doesn't mean you have to stop.
No. I'm good. I think I need it for my heart.
I think having Uncanny Ryab on the podcast was good for your heart, though, too.
Yes, because it made me smile the entire time, so that's good.
As he tends to do.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm good. I'm good for now. Anyone else want to bring anything else up?
No, Ryan, real quick, what have you been playing recently, just game-wise?
I am still playing what I was playing last time I was on the podcast, because I am slow. I am almost done with Mass Effect 3.
Nice.
So I'm almost done.
Nice.
That's gonna, awesome. I'm gonna save everyone. Gonna save the universe, and then get to the end, and then not know what to do because there's not good options at the end.
Oh, well, I've never played them. I have the trilogy to play through. I just need to get to it.
As I'm not going to say anything more, it's just that the ending of this franchise is one of the most controversial things in gaming history.
we had a discussion about it on Nerddom once.
Yes.
I think the question was, like, at what point do the consumers have a right to complain versus the artist's view?
Since the Legendary Edition came out, there's I can send you all the link, but there's a really cool this dude that is somewhat mediumly famous social media producer of content guy got in contact with a lot of people that worked for BioWare at the time and like asked questions and like tried to like reconstruct kind of what was happening, because they didn't really do like they redid the ending. And then didn't really have a lot of public comment. They weren't allowed to. So they kind of, now that it's not really there anymore and there's no big deal about it, they got a lot of the original creators and all the people they could get a hold of it and that were also willing to talk about it, and kind of went on a little reconstruction of what was going on, what was happening at the time, how they reacted to the news. They had to go back and redo some of it. So it's really interesting. You should Google that and find it if you're interested.
I am definitely interested. Mm-hmm. I will do that. I may need you to remind me, because that cognac had me is still still going. So,
Mike, what have you been playing?
Dragon Quest XI and Final Fantasy XIV. I will be finishing BattleTech pretty soon, and Bayonetta. I don't know if I'm going to continue it or not.
How do you play so many games at the same time?
I don't finish any of them. that's my secret. That's my secret. I'm far from a completionist. But yeah, I don't complete any of them. I'm almost done with BattleTech. I very nearly finished it, but then I went to California, went to Utah and California, mm-hmm. And then I was like, I think I have like two more story missions left. Honestly, I really just need to turn that game on and finish it.
Every time you say BattleTech, my brain auto completes it to Battletoads before you finish.
Oh, see, Luke would give you a hug right now. Battletoads. That's a game.
We talked about that for a while on the podcast too.
Yeah, definitely. And Jamie, what have you been playing?
Mainly just some Ninja Gaiden Sigma last weekend. I don't know why. I just had an itch to play the game, and I found the trilogy for dirt cheap on. Well, not dirt cheap. It was like $20 for the three games, but still for a remake. And I've been enjoying it. I actually played some RE5 with a friend too. That's the game we play for co-op to be able to catch up and just chat. They really do need more games like that where like we can just hang out and play, you know, and catch up and shoot zombies in the face.
Definitely miss the days of couch co-op. And now, I mean, virtual couch co-op is just fine, but I definitely miss those days. That's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to Halo, because I have a group of friends that will play the campaign with me cooperatively, so I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what you can do with RE5 and 6, is you can play co-op through the story. So we're now going through, we finished it on Veteran, now we're doing the professional run-throughs, because I'm working towards my Platinum, again, for that game. And it's just one of those games we can just play over and over, and he's got infinite ammo on like almost every gun, if not every gun. He's like, I've got like 500,000 like credits to use on nothing, like, because he plays it so much. So I don't know if I played some more Horizon Zero Dawn or not. I did stream it a week or two ago. I need to get back to that. I do love the game. It's just I haven't been in the mood to stream, so I do Ninja Gaiden when I'm just not in the mood to stream, so I've been playing that. And I did finish Metroid Dread. I think I mentioned that last time, but I didn't 100% it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, any closing remarks before we get out of here?
Captain Platinum, what is that thing we always say?
I really need Ryan, Uncanny Ryab, to game harder this week.
Yes.
That has some interesting connotations with Mass Effect specifically.
Exactly. And if you're paying a pet, you have to like go hee hee hee. Or whatever she does. I don't even remember. It always she's like, oh gosh.
All right, everyone. We will talk to you all later. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. All right.
So you guys, all right, everybody have a good Halloween, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Happy Halloween.
Bye.
Bye.